You're listening to the Jason Greger Show, presented by PlayAlberta.ca. Play in Alberta, everything stays in Alberta. Revenues from Play Alberta stay in the province. You can help get the Henday built. Welcome to the show, Kevin Woodley from InGoal Magazine and NHL.com. Woodley, how you doing?
I'm good. We've got our weather is nice here too, just all sunny. But we're kind of soft out on the West Coast, so as soon as it gets near 30, everybody starts complaining about it. I was loving it.
The Canucks hired an AHL goalie hire today. I think there's the first of two Finnish goalie coaches that will be hired after a Finnish goalie coach won the Stanley Cup. I think there's three now in the Canucks organization, Kev. And how many goalie coaches do you need in an organization when you only have a limited amount of goalies?
Well, no, they only have two because Curtis Hanford left the organization to go to Toronto. He's the new Toronto Maple Leafs, like NHL-level goalie coach, and he'd been serving in their American Hockey League role. And so this was a hire today that they announced in Marco Turanius, who basically replaces Curtis Hanford in that development and AHL role. Now, that said, there have been teams, you know, we've seen teams sort of add a director and sort of have a three-pronged approach with a director sort of coordinating both the goalie coaches in the NHL and the American League, and then also looking after some scouting. There are some teams that have, when you add a goalie-specific scout to the mix, you know, as many as four people in a goaltending department. But I think, you know, here in Vancouver, it's basically Ian Clark at the NHL level, and it'll be Marco Turanius is the name of the new hire in the American League. And, you know, it is interesting. I think a lot of people look at UC Parikkala winning the Stanley Cup with the Colorado Avalanche, first goalie coach from Europe to do so, and, you know, see this hire today and another one. I don't want to give away the name or the team because it hasn't been official yet. I don't want to get anyone in trouble, but there's another one, as you said, coming next week that will be another Finnish sort of rooted goalie coach. And a lot of people look at that as all, like, is it, you know, sort of following the success of Parkala, the fact that we finally had a guy have some success coming from Europe as a goaltending coach. And I think maybe this is more about relationships with these coaches and the organizations. In the case of Vancouver, Marco Turanius worked at SKA for years, worked with Igor Shesterkin, Yaroslav Askarov, worked with a bunch of Finnish goalies, including Mikko Koskinen is a guy he skates with in the summer as well. I know Dustin Schwartz would have been over there a couple summers ago and had a chance to skate with both Marco and Mikko. So, you know, Kevin Lankinen, and there's a list of about seven or eight Finnish NHL goaltenders that he works with. And so I think what you have here is there's a relationship formed in Russia with the goalie coach Ian Clark, but also for the first time in a long time, NHL teams sort of have the option to bring these guys over in a development role without having to compete with pricing that, frankly, is sometimes more than what NHL goalie coaches make. And that was the reality of the KHL. Turanius worked in the KHL for, I think, the last 8 years. The last six, I believe, was SKA. And, you know, he was making as much, you know, depending on the organization of the NHL, as much, if not more, than some NHL goalie coaches. And so as long as he was there, you were going to have a tough time sort of bringing him into a development role, which is lower paying. But the fact that the KHL isn't an option makes him an option for the Vancouver Canucks. And so I think you might see more of this, not so much just because Parkkala won a cup, but because these are really good goalie coaches with really good fundamentals, really good foundations. I mean, working in Russia, which is the hotbed of goaltending right now, being from Finland, Turanius worked with a young Tuukka Rask there, has been played a key role in sort of redeveloping or updating the curriculum for the Finnish national goaltending coach program, which is highly regarded. Like, these guys have a lot of pedigree. It's just in the past you couldn't get them over because, you know, the reality was these jobs didn't pay enough. And with everything that's going on in Russia and the Ukraine and that sort of taking away the KHL is a realistic option. Now you're seeing these guys sort of become options for NHL teams. And, you know, these are guys who they'll start in the AHL, but, you know, I know people that believe Marco Turanius is an NHL-level goalie coach and don't think it'll be long before he has that opportunity to move up. It's just that sometimes teams are, you know, let's be honest, the NHL's risk-adverse. I think he was a finalist for other NHL jobs this summer, in fact. but teams don't really want to. If they got somebody who's worked in the NHL or the AHL or in North America before, they're typically going to pick that ahead of somebody who might have to go through some adjustments in terms of the size of the rink and the style of the game and how things are sort of done over here in an NHL schedule.
Kevin Woodley joins us. Kevin, last week we did the Atlantic, so let's get to the Metro rankings. And I know these are tandem rankings, not just who has the best individual goalie. It's tandem rankings. Obviously, if you have a really good starter, that benefits you. So, Shesterkin, the Rangers, are they at the top of your list?
Yeah, and let's not forget, we go down, like, let's be honest, 119 goalies in the NHL last year. We're taking a look at three on the depth chart, and it's sometimes four. And so the Rangers still top it, largely, like you said, because Igor Shesterkin, in terms of the performance he had last year, when I look at his adjusted save percentage, he's the number one goalie in the league. And even though their tandem with Halak didn't add up to as high an adjusted save percentage as Washington, a lot of that was driven, in Washington's case, by a small sample for Charlie Lindgren. So obviously you've got to weight the starter and Shesterkin ahead of Kemper. And frankly, in Yaroslav Halak, for all the ups and downs he had here in Vancouver, he still finished flirting with the top 10 in adjusted save percentage. So to me, the Rangers are number one with a bullet. Louis Domingo's in as their number three. And, you know, as much as maybe there were some times in the playoffs he was exposed a little bit with Pittsburgh, the reality is in the couple times he got in the regular season, he's a capable, experienced guy if you need him in a backup role. And like I said, on Yaro Halak, I still think there's a lot of good hockey left in Yaro, even at his age. And as odd as things looked here last year on the surface, the underlying numbers were a lot better. So they easily topped the Metro in my mind.
And number two?
And we're going to go Islanders. Even like I said, Washington, and again, the adjusted numbers, when you add them up, sort of favors them. But when you've got two starters, arguably, in Sorokin and Varlamov, even with Varlamov coming off a down season where he was barely above expected, Sorokin's a guy I expect to be in this Vezina conversation for the next several years. He's that good. Again, that Russian influence along with Shesterkin and Vasilevsky. The only thing that might potentially hurt them, and again, it's less concerning because both guys are capable of a starter workload, but if one goes down, the depth chart gets a little thin at 3 and 4 for them. And so, again, if you had a backup moving into the starting job and you had uncertainty in the American Hockey League level, you'd be really worried about it. But the fact if Sorokin goes down, Varlamov's done the job before, or vice versa, and in a starter role, means you're not going to, short of both going down, you're not going to need those 3 and 4 goalies very often. Even if they're on the team for a stretch, even a month, you might only need one or two starts out of them. So I got the Islanders at number two. And then I've mentioned them twice already, Washington. Now, Darcy Kemper did not have a great playoff, but he had a really good regular season. He goes into a similarly stingy, not quite to the degree of the Colorado Avalanche, but not far behind it. Defensive environment in Washington, something he's comfortable with. And Charlie Lindgren, I've said it at the time, and I'm sticking with it after another conversation with him for the Ingle Radio podcast this week. Like, I think he could end up being the sneaky best signing of this free agency period. They got him at 3 years, I think 1.1. Had a real breakthrough last year, and it wasn't just sort of, it was a small sample in the NHL. He had a 958, but he had a good season in the American Hockey League. And when you understand the changes he made in his game and talk to him about it, like, it feels like this is a tangible thing that he'll be able to hold on to moving forward. And even if we go down the depth chart in Washington, number three, Zach Fucali, another late bloomer who sort of rediscovered some things in the Capitals organization that when they needed him for three or four starts last year was really good. So I've got Washington third in the Metropolitan Division, just slightly ahead of Carolina, with Frederick Anderson, Antti Raanta having great seasons. Pyotr Kochetkov, the young Russian that came up, has tons of talent, but it didn't necessarily translate at the NHL last year. I still see upside there, but not enough to sort of, overcome some of the, not question marks about performance with Anderson and Raanta, but just their ability to stay healthy and the likelihood they'll need Kochetkov and they'll need him to be a lot better. He looks great. Like, all the tools are there, but his ability to apply them last year at times was questionable. And so even if he takes a step, I think there's enough uncertainty there to drop them into fourth in the division.
Kevin Woodley from Ingle Magazine, NHL.com, joins us to rank in the Metro. So he has Rangers, Islanders, Washington, and Carolina, 1 to 4. Who do you have 5 to 8?
Pittsburgh in the five spot. Tristan Jarry actually had a nice bounce back year last year. It's too bad he wasn't healthy in the playoffs. Otherwise, I think their playoffs could have been extended. Casey DeSmith had a real up and down year. Like his numbers at the end of it are negative relative to expected. But if you look at the second half, like something clicked there, working with a new goaltending coach. And so I still see upside there enough to keep them sort of at least, you know, in the top half of the bottom of this division. They added Dakarski in the three hole, which to me is a little bit of a head scratcher. Like I like Dustin's managed to sort of perform at an expected level the past couple of seasons, which, you know, it's not a bad thing, right? It's at least consistent, and maybe that's all you need in Pittsburgh. But certainly unconventional methods of getting there. So I've got them in the five hole. Then, you know, this is a tough one. Statistically, Columbus should actually be lower on this list, but I put them sixth ahead of Philadelphia and ahead of New Jersey. Merzlikins was just above expected in a tough year. Korpisalo was well below. I know he's a name we've talked about quite a bit, Jason, over the past couple of years. There were talk about him ending up in Edmonton. But it just, I know he's coming off an injury. All the tools are there. It should be better than it is, and it just hasn't been for quite some time. And so
he had 1 year, you know, Kev. He had 1 year when they beat Toronto in the playoffs, and everybody just overrated that, I think.
Yeah, I totally agree. And the one thing that pulls them up in my ranking, and this is assuming he's going to come back healthy, he's a younger goalie coming off a hip surgery, Daniil Tarasov is the real deal. He got a short taste with them last year, and tiny sample, but before the hips acted up, he was like plus 3.5% above expected on save percentage. And again, small sample, but I think when you watch the video, you'll see what this kid is capable of. I mean, he's a monstrous athletic Russian goaltender with, you know, frankly, a lot better technical foundation for his size compared to a lot of other guys. So I like him, and he sort of bumps them up, you know, in what gets kind of ugly. Carter Hart had another down year last year in Philadelphia. I've got them seventh, largely because of questions behind him. I still, you know, think there's more there, but I don't think their defensive environment's going to be that much better. And that's been something that, you know, has sort of left him thrown under the bus. They're looking at Felix Sandstrom, who was fine in a small sample as a rookie last year, but it looks like he's going to be the backup because Russian Ivan Fedotov, as we've heard, you know, it looks like he's basically serving in the Russian army as part of, there's a lot of speculation about why, and for whatever reason, he's probably not going to be available. I like their signing of Troy Grosnick in the three hole. I think he's capable. We saw it with the Kings a couple of years ago. He's capable of NHL starts, had another really nice season in the American Hockey League. But when you look at them one through three, there's more questions than answers. And I guess enough answers to keep them slightly ahead of a New Jersey, who is, in my mind, last in the Metro, but has the ability to make the biggest leap. And a lot of that is going to be Mackenzie Blackwood. Bad year. If you're counting on him being the starter, he would have the worst numbers of this group from last season in the Metro Division. And yet the potential remains there. Like, you know, this is a guy that was being looked at as a potential Olympian for Canada just a couple of years ago. He rose so quickly at such a young age. And so if he can rediscover some of the consistency to go with the athleticism that we've seen on display, you know, he could really jump them up. Vanacek is the big signing, but as we've talked about before, like he's a barely above expected goaltender, and that was behind a really predictable defensive environment in Washington. He won't have that in New Jersey, and I think, you know, the potential for some struggles are there. And then the wild card in this mix is Jonathan Bernier. At the age 34, does he come back off of the hip surgery that ended his season early last year? He's kind of overlooked, but, you know, for a bad Detroit team, provided some really steady goaltending for a couple seasons before signing in New Jersey. And so if you could get a healthy Bernier back and revitalize Blackwood a little bit here, I could see them moving up this list. But when you look at the way the last couple of years have gone and the inconsistency in Blackwood's game and the questions I have about the ceiling for Vanacek, it's hard to rank them any higher than last in the Metro going into the season.
You mentioned Tarasov in Columbus. I'm always intrigued by, you know, goalies like that. What do you think the chances are that he'll – does he start in the American League, Kevin, in your eyes? And then they just, you know, they wait and see how he does? Or is there a chance he could knock off Korpisalo for the backup job to start?
Well, I think Korpisalo signed a one-year deal, if I'm not mistaken, a really cheap one. So, you know, whether it's at the trade deadline, if Jonas was able to sort of reestablish himself as a legitimate option in the NHL that teams might find attractive again. And as we've talked about, like, the reputation seems to outweigh the performance here, so maybe that's possible. Maybe you've seen Tarasov in the second half of the season. To be honest, I don't know, because I don't know how each of them is. They both had hip surgeries, I believe, and I'm not sure where each one is at in terms of the recovery. And obviously that could play a role in terms of, is either one or are both of them truly at 100% when things get started? I don't think you're going to see a Jonas Korpisalo, especially after he gave them sort of a discount, a prove-it year, bounce-back intention for him. I don't see them responding in kind by dumping him down to the American Hockey League. But whether it's the small sample or sort of the pedigree and the upside, you could easily make an argument that Tarasov, if healthy to start camp, can be and maybe is a better goaltender at this point. So that's one to watch. But again, a lot of it'll depend on where their health is at. Coming off an injury that, you know, like it, some guys, it's a real struggle. Other guys, especially younger guys, you know, it's almost like a boutique surgery at this point. You feel better after you have this surgery. Other guys, it takes a long time to recover. You know, similar to Jonathan Bernier, we really don't know what you're going to get out of him coming into the season or how long it'll take him to be back to sort of, you know, where we're used to seeing him. And those questions sort of surround both Korpisalo and Daniil Tarasov with the Columbus Blue Jackets. And the answers will probably go a long way to deciding who gets what role.
Kev, great stuff, man. Always good to talk to you. Have yourself a wonderful week, and we will talk Central and Pacific Division the next few weeks.
Yeah, we'll save the Pacific for last. Central next week. I think I'm on the ice with a couple guys from the Central next week, so we'll catch up to you from Kelowna, where we're at the annual Net 360 camp next week.
Oof, all right. Well, we're your jock, buddy. We're your jock.